Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Elaine Burke, host of the For Tech's Sake podcast, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Elaine, one interesting aspect of the Netflix show Adolescence that we were talking about earlier, but the police were completely misunderstanding the social media posts involved in the case until it was one of the cop's sons explained to him how the emojis being used gave a whole different meaning to everything. So you're going to help us maybe decode some of the emoji subculture. So each generation has a different emoji language, does it? Do teenagers now have their own dialect, kind of?
I suppose it's always labelled by generations, and that is a handy way to do it because it does tend to be that younger people like to find ways to communicate amongst themselves that's kind of unique to their own language. It's part of being a teenager. You're forging your own identity. You're creating groups of friends that maybe will last you a lifetime, and you do kind of absorb things in your culture and they maybe enter into your language use and shape your language use. And emojis are a way we communicate now, so that kind of becomes part of it.
So what kind of things are they absorbing from the culture?
Well, like a really interesting one is that emoji that is fairly new to me, and I never would have guessed what this means if I hadn't done this research before now. Yeah. But it looks like your index finger and your thumb just crossed. And that actually means a tiny heart. And it's actually from South Korean culture. And it also kind of speaks to how young people now are very interested in K-pop. South Korean culture has a big influence on young people all over the world now. And this like little gesture of a thumb crossed over an index finger from Korea has become this widespread emoji that use little tiny heart. And I would have thought that's like a joke from The Simpsons, meaning the taxes. The finger thing means the taxes.
Okay. So like the same thing has different meanings depending on what you know and what you don't know. Basically.
Exactly.
And the millennials and Gen Z then, do they have their own different emoji languages as well? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I think there's this like always put like as a battle between Gen Z and millennials, and anything that millennials do is cringe to Gen Z. Yeah. So apparently all the emojis I use are
loose and tight gym gear at the moment, apparently, is the latest thing Gen Z are shaming the millennials.
Oh yeah, and it's how you wear your Uggs as well. It can be very millennial, very trendy. Because like apparently all the ones that I would use a lot are very cringe. So monkey covering eyes, clap hands, the grimace face, that's probably my most commonly used emoji. These are all cringe.
If you're old and sad.
And I find it interesting, I spoke to like my niece and nephew last night about this to see how, you know, valid this information was. And even like how we might laugh through emojis is very different to the age groups. Like I'm a cry laughing face emoji. Yeah. So it's like I'm really laughing really hard when really I'm only maybe mildly smiling.
Yeah.
But she said, oh, I use the actual crying face. So she's actually crying laughing. They go way more dramatic with it as well.
Okay,
and that also
okay.
might mean something's very, very cute as well. The big crying, sobbing face. It's like, it's so cute. I'm so emotional over it.
Okay.
And then my nephew was saying like a broken heart emoji is that's a minor inconvenience. I'm sad about your minor inconvenience. What a heartbreak. And I thought he meant that sarcastically. And he's like, no, it's actually quite empathetic. Like I relate to your minor inconvenience.
It is. Right. And then the different colored hearts, explain that.
Yeah. So this is something that comes up in adolescence, and it's like different heart colors mean different things. So a red heart is pretty self-explanatory. That means love. And if you're using that with someone who...
Or that
maybe,
you vaguely liked a text that someone had sent.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I love it!
If you're using that with someone that you don't know very well, that can maybe be coming on a bit too strong, a red love heart.
Yeah,
so you want to soften it with different colours. But beware of what colours you're using, because purple can mean that you're up for a certain type of love.
Okay.
Pink means you're not interested in sex, but you're interested. Orange means you're going to be fine. Very generic. And yellow apparently means I'm interested. Are you interested? It's kind of like a questioning. Are you interested? Okay. I'm sending you a level of yellow love heart. Will you send me a yellow one back, or maybe even something else back?
So is it a way of saying things without saying them? Is that part of it, like that you can't be pinned down? There's kind of an ambiguity there.
And it's interesting as well. I suppose it's actually kind of testing, like, are you on the same wavelength with a person as well? It's kind of like, will they get the references that I'm making with emojis? And then you can kind of know if you have a shorthand with that person, if you're coming from the same frame of mind. It's kind of like language can be a way of identifying your in-group in many ways as well, and emojis, like I said, are language now.
Okay, so explain to me a bit about the emoji code we saw in adolescence, which was kind of around the manosphere stuff.
Yeah, so this is an interesting one because it kind of shows you how internet language kind of shapes attitudes and ideologies even. And like these innocuous looking emojis can actually be something a bit sinister. So the 100 emoji, I think, is an interesting one because that is one, it looks kind of like points in a video game is kind of how it's styled. And a lot of people that I know would use that to say they're expressing like definite agreement with something.
100%.
Yeah, exactly. And it evolved to do that. It wasn't originally meant to mean 100%, but again, people's usage of it gave it that meaning. But now, as it comes out in adolescence, it's actually become something that refers to what's called the 80-20 rule in incel culture, which is that this theory, it's based on the Pareto principle of 80-20, that 80% of women are attracted to only 20% of men. And it's complete bunk, obviously, but this 80-20 rule comes up a lot in manosphere content. And the 100 just has been used to represent that. Just kind of like,
okay,
this is how things evolve. Like something becomes tangentially related to something, and 100 becomes basically a way to slag someone off and say, oh, you're one of these 80-20 people. Yeah. So even like some people could have started using it to represent what they believe to be the 80-20 principle, but then someone can use that against them to insult them and say, oh, you're one of these incels who believes in this rule. So it's really interesting how these can also become
what
things
that
a group uses
there?
And it uses against a group.
Yes. What other ones were there?
So there's a pill emoji. It's actually a red and yellow coloured pill. It looks, you know, like a standard capsule pill, but because it's got red in it, it's kind of come this idea of being a red pill. And red pill has been a metaphor in the manosphere for a really long time. And it's actually quite ironic because it comes from The Matrix. The Matrix is itself a metaphor for the trans experience, according to its own creators.
Okay.
But these people who wouldn't be very forgiving of the trans experience have adopted it in their culture. And being red pills mean that's you see the world as it really is and you understand this 80-20 principle that exists. And it's taken from The Matrix because you take the red pill to find out that the Matrix exists and that your world is a construct in a way.
So now that everyone knows about these, they're gone probably. Are they now?
This is the thing, yeah.
Someone my age is now aware of them.
It's like with any kind of slang, like there was articles galore very recently that were talking about like all the kids are saying cap and no cap and this is what it means. As soon as there's articles about it and there's media talking about it, it's over. Like it's kind of reached a point of saturation where the genie is out of the bottle, people know about it. It's probably not going
to
be used
the
in the same way
now.
The day
I said slay to my daughter,
it died
right there and then. Okay, Elaine Burke, host of the For Tech's Sake podcast, thank you very much for that decoding and enlightenment. We'll take a break.